sunsets here in South Florida. This is Martin Zender, and the number one complaint I get from the body of Christ, not that you're a bunch of complainers, I'm not saying that, don't take this the wrong way, is that you don't have any fellowship. I'm the same way. I'm down here at the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula, so what kind of fellowship do I get? I got Waylon and Regina Dabbs, who are 35 miles to the north. Juliana, I think she might be a believer. I was talking to her about the snatching away like 3 weeks ago, and you know, we had a drink or two, and it was a good time to talk about it. And I said, you know, there's a really bad time coming upon the earth. She said, Martinico, what's gonna happen? I said, well, you ever heard of the tribulation? Yes, Martinico, what's that? Yes, what's that? Okay, I'm just reporting. And I said, it's a terrible time coming to the earth. 7 years of hell, basically, 3.5 years are the worst part of it. And God is basically clearing the table. He's going to destroy human religion and politics in order to inaugurate his religion and politics. And I said, but you and I can get out of it. How do I get out of it, Martinico? Well, this is what you do. All you gotta do is believe that Jesus Christ did everything for you. That he went to the cross and he did what you could not possibly do. He saved you from death. I believe that, Martinico. I said, well, great. I said, so that means you don't believe that it was your will that instigated this. No. Okay, perfect. Boom. Phase one. Right? Because you know where I'm going, ladies and gentlemen. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, the death of Christ for sin, his entombment, and his resurrection. So I said, okay, but, and that Jesus Christ delivered us from death by dying. He conquered death by going into the death state himself. I said, Juliana, do you believe that? Yes, Martinico, I believe that. That's great. I said, but I want to make sure you believe it. Like, you actually believe Jesus Christ died. It's like, this means that, like, he's not God the Father. He's the Son of God. And God was running the universe while Jesus Christ was dead for 3 days. I said, this is important, Juliana. Very important. I said, Jesus Christ was dead for 3 days. I said, do you believe this? Yes, Martinico, I believe it. I said, congratulations, welcome to the body of Christ. My name is Martin Zender. I will be your host to the snatching away. She goes, can we hold hands when we go up to meet Jesus? Absolutely, we will hold hands. I thought that was very sweet. It touched me, actually. And so it could be that this happened about 3 weeks ago, probably. Now, you know, it could be that she just said the words, but she really does love God, and she says, I wake up every day, she says to me. This is my landlady, Juliana. I wake up every day thanking God. I thank God for the sun. I thank God for the air that I breathe. That's pretty profound. I mean, some days I can't even work that up, right? So it's like, I think she's in the body of Christ, ladies and gentlemen. My landlady is in the body of Christ. So that's very exciting. I wanted to share that with you because I know a lot of people ask me about it, and I mean, she doesn't watch my shows every day, so she probably won't even see this show unless I purposely showed it to her. I don't know how crazy she would be about me talking about her, you know. She's just right through that door probably, right? That's the laundry room door right there. She's probably, I was just talking to her, right? But I got a special treat for you here on today, on this Monday. This all started when I talked to you about fellowship. How we long for fellowship, and the one complaint I hear from you is that you don't have enough people to fellowship with. Well, every once in a while somebody visits me down here. Several people have come here to fellowship with me, and a fellow believer has come here, and I never met this gentleman before. His name is Wes Follenkamp, and he flew in yesterday from Des Moines, Iowa. Never met this guy. But I want you to meet him because he is a fellow member of the body of Christ. And whether you like it or not, you're going to be with this guy forever. All right? Just brace yourself here. But isn't it something that when you meet people that you've never seen before, it's like you've known them your entire life. This is Wes. And I introduce Wes. This is the body of Christ.
Good morning, Body of Christ.
Yes, and as is my habit, I ask people how they ended up here. I ask them how they ended up in the Body of Christ, how they ended up to come to believe these truths of the sufficiency of Christ as our Savior and the death of Christ, the salvation of all these great truths. So, Wes.
Yes, sir.
You have known me for a few years.
Yes.
And we've corresponded a few times over the internet, but why the heck did you come down here?
For the babes in the beach.
For the babes in the beach. I might have to edit this out, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I came down here to see the person I consider to be my mentor, Martin Zender.
So what church were you raised in?
I did not go to church growing up.
You didn't?
None.
Do you consider that an advantage?
I do now, absolutely. I figure that I didn't have a lot of the traditions and the hang-ups that a lot of Christians who grow up in the church had.
Yeah.
So I definitely consider that an advantage.
Definitely.
But I was in the church long enough to get sucked in by their traditions that what happens to a lot of people growing up happened to me as an adult.
Which church sucked you in?
I would say the whole Christian infrastructure, because I was in Lutheran churches, Baptist, Church of Christ, Presbyterian.
Holy smokes.
I hit the smorgasbord. I hit the buffet table and I tasted all of them.
Yes.
And they were all edible. Some were more tasty than others. As far as the Baptist church, the greatest thing I learned while attending the Baptist church is that I'm not a Baptist.
That's the most important thing to learn in the Baptist church. Is that
yes.
You're, that's good. That's
yes.
Good. What happened after that?
Well,
like, how did you escape the vortex? It's like you start experimenting with different churches, as some people do. They
yes.
They try everything. They try this flavor. They try that flavor, like Baskin Robbins, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then most people never escape that.
No.
And yet you are chosen by God before the disruption of the world to hear the truth. How in the world did you escape the vortex? How did you escape the 52 flavors, or how many flavors they have at Baskin Robbins? I don't know.
The only way to escape is by the grace of God. And why he chose me to escape when millions, if not billions, stay yeah. locked into that system, I don't know. But he put it in me to study and dig deeper than a lot of the people I was going to church with, and I started to discover truths that people in those churches don't want to talk about, like the salvation of all, the true sovereignty of God, the power of yeah. Jesus and what he actually accomplished on the cross, the fact that we don't have to add anything to what he's done because he did it all.
Yeah.
And those things are things that you don't learn in church. You won't learn in church.
So no.
If you're in church, get out of there.
That's great advice. I couldn't give better advice myself.
Don't try to reform the church, because it's beyond reform.
Excellent advice.
It's a place that's entrenched. It's set in its ways. And you will not change people in the church.
That's true.
You have to just get out, start learning on your own. But, like Martin and I talked about earlier, leaving the church doesn't mean that you're leaving God.
Yeah.
So don't buy into that lie, because a lot of times people leave the church, and those in the church say, if you leave us, you're leaving God. That's a lie.
Yes.
That's a lie from Satan. And you need to believe that God is accessible outside of the Christian church / Christian cult.
Yes.
You can still have a relationship with him if you're not going into that building every Sunday.
In fact, I will take it to the next level. I would yes. say you would have to leave that building
yes.
in order to have a relationship with him. And this is so good that you're saying this, because so many people think that they're going to go into the system and they're going to change the system.
Mm-hmm.
And they somehow think that the system is neutral. Well, like, if I go into this system with the object of changing people, then at least I'm trying to do good. But they don't realize that this is not a neutral organization. This is an organization infested with demons. Tell me if you think I'm going too far, and that you will not change them, but it will change you.
You have as much chance of changing the church as you do from changing Satan from being Satan.
Wow, that's good.
You can't change it.
No.
So get out, find people like Martin. He's at martinzender.com. That's where I've learned a lot. You just have to get out there and start researching, but you need to know the Bible for yourself and dig into the Hebrew and the Greek as much as you can. And if you can't dig in that well, there's people like Martin who have a lot of stuff that dig in for you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get to know the scriptures for yourself, because if you depend upon other people, it's too easy to be deceived. Because there's a million ways to be deceived, but there's one truth, and that's the truth about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So when you're looking for the needle in the haystack, there's only one, and that's Jesus. The deceptions are all around you, and within the Christian church, there are too numerous to mention here. But the big ones, they diminish the power of God, the love of God,
yes.
God's plan.
Yes.
They elevate Satan. They wouldn't say that they elevate Satan, but they do by diminishing God.
Right.
They elevate death to a place where it doesn't deserve. So it's all twisted. It's all backwards.
Yes.
And the only way you're going to find the truth is through the scriptures. And you have to have accurately translated scriptures.
Yes, definitely.
I've read the NIV for years. I read the King James Version for years. They're crap. Throw them away.
Preach it, brother.
Read the concordant literal New Testament. Young's literal translation.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
There's a lot of translations that will give you a lot closer, get you a lot closer to the original manuscripts than the NIV and the King James Version.
Yeah, for sure.
So you have to read those. You got to get accurate translations, or you're going to believe the lies of the mistranslated versions.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I've argued with people about certain theological concepts, and it's like, well, wait a minute, let's not even argue until we figure out what God said, right? Let's at least argue about what God said.
Yes.
And in order to find out what God said, you simply have to go to a good translation. Mm-hmm. There's no other way. And the translations, I mean, the first Bible I got was an NASB back in 1979, and it was a start, right? But then by the grace of God, I met someone who introduced me to the Concordant Version in 1982, and then I just couldn't believe the scholarship. And for some, I think God puts it in us and in the people we're talking to, a hunger to know exactly what he said. And we realize how important it is to get those words right.
Yeah.
It's about words.
Yep.
Giant doctrines rise and fall on a single word.
One word. You can't look at it like, well, it's a different translation, it's not that big of a deal. One word can change everything.
Yeah.
And I know for me, the study, and Martin's done work on this, the study of aeon and aionios, which a lot of versions translate eternal, like eternal judgment, eternal destruction. Those things, they're not true, and that's what throws off this whole thing that leads to the belief of eternal torment, annihilationism, which I've been in both camps. I've been an eternal tormentist. I've been an annihilationist.
Really?
So I know both of their arguments, and they're weak.
Yeah.
Both of those arguments diminish the work of Christ. They elevate death to have victory over a massive amount of humanity.
Yeah.
And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 taunts death, like, where's your victory?
True. That is a verse I don't talk about that much. Absolutely right. Oh, death, where is your victory? Yeah. Where is your sting? Yeah. He's taunting death.
And if eternal torment or annihilation are true, death can say, Paul, you dumbass, look, I've got billions of people. How many do you have? But
that Paul, is a great point.
Paul taunts death in such a way that death has no response, because death gains not one person.
Wow.
Death might win a little battle here and there. Obviously, we're going to die.
Yeah, and we have some loved ones who have died.
Yeah, but in the end, Jesus is going to resurrect and vivify all people. His work on the cross actually did accomplish something. We're going to see that. It takes faith to see that now.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
But we're going to see the reality of that eventually. And you just have to hold on and believe.
Hold on and believe. What we believe now is going to be very popular someday.
Yeah, people are going to be
pioneers.
Like,
yeah. We're pioneers. By the grace of God, we are pioneers.
Yeah, I mean, it's not of us. I mean,
of course not. No.
If God didn't reveal anything to us, we would know nothing.
Right.
All we know is what He reveals to us. And I've been deceived a lot in my life. But I believe, honestly, that God allows us to be deceived and causes that deception so that we can know both sides. Okay, now I know what the enemy's actually doing. I know his schemes. I know his plans.
Yeah.
I know how he deceives people. But now I know the truth. So I can argue and defend the truth against the deception that I've actually walked through.
Wow, yeah. That's helpful to have walked through it.
Yeah.
Because then you see through to the stratagems of the adversary, and then you can warn people about it because you've been in it yourself.
Yeah.
And Paul was the same thing. I mean, he was Saul the Pharisee, so he knew well the attraction of the Jewish cult of knowledge and wisdom and everything but the Spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, they killed their own Messiah, so he was well acquainted with that. And that is... What you said about death was amazing. I never thought of that. Paul actually taunts death. Oh, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? I think it's like around 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 or something.
50-something.
Somewhere late in 1 Corinthians 15. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Paul taunts death. And I love that because I hate death more than anything. Death is an enemy. Paul calls it an enemy. And Paul actually takes it to the next level. And I'm going to go to that level now. That's it after what my friend Wes has said. Where is your sting? But if death claims one person, then death would have a right to boast.
Yes.
Death could say, I took one person from the resurrected Christ. And death would have a sting. Well, it's only one person, Martin. Only one person. It's like, no. And yet Christianity teaches that millions upon millions of people will be conquered by death. Not only the people, but Jesus Christ himself will be conquered by death. But no. Wes and I want you to know that Jesus Christ has conquered death, and he will not be denied. And death is the last enemy that will be abolished. 1 Corinthians 15:26. We believe it now. By the grace of God, you also believe it. The entire world thinks we're crazy right now, but let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, what Wes and I and what you believe is going to be extremely popular someday.